Hi everyone, I'm Gary Nall. Always a pleasure to be able to share time with you, learning how we can live a longer and healthier and happier life. Today we're going to start our program with a study from Queen Mary University in the United Kingdom. And it's one that if we all did, we would make a big difference in our blood pressure. And after all, blood pressure that is increased is a silent killer. In fact, more than 90 million Americans, that's a lot of the population, and especially adults, and especially those who are overweight, they have hypertension. Now, there are medications that can control hypertension, and that can be life-saving, and I certainly support that, providing that first you look at the side effects. All of you should get an app and put it on your computer to the physician's desk reference. Every doctor in America has this. Why? Because it tells them whether or not what they're doing will cause serious consequences, even if there is some efficacy. So what is the benefit? And I'm sure you've seen the ads. The benefit of, let's say you have hay fever or you have a runny nose, and it tells you to take this particular drug and you overcome that, or it'll improve the symptoms. But then the side effects are death. I don't know about you, but I'd rather have a runny nose than die. And besides, there's a lot of other ways that you can help yourself if you have a runny nose or congestion or asthma. But we haven't been given that opportunity to know that. We have not had proper public health informed consent. Meaning before we consent to do something, we should at least know what are the side effects of what I'm about to eat, drink, breathe. Right? Imagine this. Imagine that right now there are large chunks of the California highway that have collapsed in the last 3 to 4 weeks because of torrential rain, some of the worst rain in their history. Now just imagine that you were a person and a broker showed you a house, nice little house, overlooking the ocean, about 70 feet from the cliff. Well, in point of fact, a very famous person I saw on the news paid $70 million for a house, and you notice the house is right up against the cliff. What guarantee did that broker make, or the state make, that you can live there safely? Don't worry about, you know, torrential rain causing flooding and causing the collapse up and down the whole state. But that's exactly what's been happening. And yet it almost never makes the news. What if you've been told the truth that no one, that means about 60 million Americans living around the coastal areas, the United States and the Gulf, can live there with any certainty that they are an environmentally safe area, because there are none. I used to live on right on the ocean in South Beach, 2nd Avenue in South Beach, park right across the street. It was idyllic. And I lived there for 15 years. I would run early in the morning on the beach. I'd do a 10-mile run before anyone, including the yoga practitioners, were out there, which was always kind of cool. I'd run by them, and there they'd be doing their wonderful movements. And I love the fresh, clean air. I love the people, wonderful people, very upbeat, very positive. But for me, it was a respite. It was a place to go where I didn't have a phone. Phone wouldn't ring. And I didn't have to be bothered by anything except relaxing. I was there for 2 days a week. Then I'd come back and get right back into all the busyness that my life is about. But then I saw one day that the seaweed that comes in with high tide, it comes in, but with low tide, when the tide goes back out in the morning, it leaves that seaweed. It's a long string, goes on for miles. And I thought, that's strange. That's about 10 feet in from where it normally is. What I didn't know was it was not from a storm. It was just that the oceans were rising. And as the ocean rises, that really causes a problem for all the buildings that are right beside the beach. Over the next 3 years, every time I go out to the beach in the morning before they clean it up, I would see the seaweed going further and further and further. until one day I saw the seaweed was at the base of the swimming pools along the entire Miami Beach, where all the hotels are. And I thought, okay, here's the actual reality. None of the buildings built in that part of Florida are built on concrete or hard stone. Instead, they're built on sand with concrete pilings that go down, but they ultimately rest on sand. So there will be a time when so much water goes in at night, and a lot of it goes down, not back out to the sea. And there's going to be an erosion factor, and it's going to cause those beams to become unstable. That's going to cause cracks in the foundation. That's going to cause a damage to the building. We saw the results of that just 2 years ago with the building collapsing. That's exactly what happens. And now other buildings are at risk of collapsing. And there's no way to stop that. So, does it make sense to live in a place where you know that sooner or later it's not going to be a quality of life for you? It'll be a disaster. Just like all the people's homes who are burnt down in Montana, in Colorado, in California, in Wyoming, in other places in Texas. Now that fires are more frequent and more ferocious, destroying more. And what about all the drinking water for 40 million people out of Lake Mead and Lake Powell and the Hoover Dam? The water goes across the Hoover Dam, it crosses generators, and these generators produce hydroelectric power for about 7 million people. But now half those are turned off because there's not enough water coming across them to create hydroelectricity. So a reasonable consumer beware by the state and local community is this is not the place to settle. The beautiful terrain, wonderful people, but we cannot sustain you because we don't have water. And we have multiple interests competing for the water. In Arizona, they're building water theme parks, yes. And yet, all their water is coming from the Little Colorado under a treaty, and there's not enough. So just think of the community recently, an entire town right near Phoenix was told they have no more water. Literally, no more water. You turn on the taps, nothing comes out. What about the thousands and thousands of people who live there? What about their gardens? What about the businesses that require that water? Nobody looked up. Nobody wanted to know the truth. As a result, because they were not informing themselves, they did not seek the truth, they're dealing with no water, and that cannot be reversed. Why do I bring this up? Because the same underlying principle of common sense, reason, and due diligence applies to everything in life. You've got to ask the hard questions. So you're asking, Gary, what's going on in a town in Nevada, in Colorado, in Phoenix, at Lake Mead or Lake Powell? What's that have to do with me? It has a lot to do. It has everything to do. Because we wouldn't have a nation of obesity, high blood pressure, heart disease, pain, arthritis. We wouldn't have dementia, Alzheimer's, if we had had proper informed consent. If we were told the truth without any industry interfering in that truth process, what constitutes health and wellness? And why we have to look at making the right choices in life. But we didn't, did we? No. Instead, we wanted what everyone else had. Why not us? If you have two cars, we want two cars. You want flat screen TVs in every room, including your bathroom, we want the same thing. So we just couldn't stop the impulses to want more, even if we didn't need more. There's a big difference between having a need and fulfilling it, and having a want and fulfilling it. We've overdone the wants. We've underdone the needs. The need for good health. Well, you have to have healthy food, healthy water, healthy environment in order to have a healthy body, healthy mind. But we don't. probably 90% or more, I'm guesstimating, of what we are sold on television creates disease. That's literally disease mongering. People who know that what they're selling us is unhealthy, in time will clog our arteries, will cause cancer, will cause inflammation, and that will shorten our lifespan substantially. But the prophet isn't convincing you that something you should never have, you must absolutely have all the time. And just like the people who see those wonderful scenes of houses on the ocean, I want one of those. I want to wake up in the morning and look out at the ocean. I want that sunset and sunrise, and indeed they are beautiful. But when I saw that I was no longer in a sustaining environment, I moved. I sold what was arguably one of the most beautiful penthouses in all of South Beach. I built it literally myself. And I took over a whole floor of just a concrete slab. That was it, upstairs. 9 stories up, and I wanted to do something myself, and I did. And so for 15 years, I had a little wonderful space for myself, right close to nature. And it was just gorgeous until it wasn't. The people were still there, all the adventures, the great restaurants, Lincoln Road, but I was no longer in a sustainable environment. So instead of waiting till the last minute, until there was some natural catastrophe, I sold it. My friends said, you should have kept it. And I'm saying, that's like saying I can have one more drink before I'm too drunk. One more bite of that 2-pound hamburger or steak before I have a heart attack. No, I leave every plate where there's still food that can go in my body. I never eat till I'm full. As a result, I've maintained my weight. I've maintained my health. I maintain my mindset by not trusting the information from any media until I independently verify it. Media like the New York Times that I used to read, I no longer do, because I can no longer trust. So today I question everything. I don't question it with a cynicism, but rather I want to be properly informed, not propagandized informed. So now you see what this has to do with beets. Because beets are not profitable. Beets are inexpensive. Beets are readily available everywhere, and you can get a juicer and just buy the beets and juice them. Or you can buy beet juice. Either way, it lowers your high blood pressure. So what have we learned? We've learned that right now, the vast majority of Americans are making choices without being properly, honestly, and objectively informed about everything. Would you vote for the same people if you went back and did your due diligence and got their congressional voting record and saw what they supported and what they didn't? Does that match the promises they made to you? Does that benefit you and the other constituents in that area? Or not? So we have to take a moment. We have to take a pause and ask ourselves, are we filled with so much impulsivity that we're incapable of making proper choices? Just asking. Because if you want to live a healthy life, if you don't want these diseases, if you don't want to be obese, if you don't want to go into that long dark night in pain and suffering and hoping for the end, because it will end your suffering, and a lot of people are doing that. In Canada, assisted suicide is the 6th major cause of death. But what if I told all those people about to commit suicide, we can change the outcome, but we've got to change the lifestyle. We've got to change the choices you make. We've got to stop what you're doing that's creating your pain and reverse it. Can we do it? You bet. People in this audience have experienced that. Are we willing to do it? Not so much. Why not? Because the older we get, the more challenging it becomes to make any positive choices, because we're just so stuck in our comfort. We've been conditioned to believe we deserve our time. We worked hard. Now we're in retirement. Don't bother us. We'll stay in our gated communities or wherever we're at until we pass. That's a freedom of choice. But I'm one of those people who believe that every day is a day to value, to put what we can in and to take what we need out. So drink your beet juice, according to Queen Mary University, because one glass of beet juice a day, that's it, one glass a day, is enough to significantly reduce blood pressure in patients with high blood pressure. That concludes this placebo-controlled trial. And we just need to do this because what happens when you have high blood pressure? Well, you can have a stroke. You can have a mini stroke, or you can have a major stroke. And a lot of people think, oh, I just had a minor stroke. There's no such thing as a minor stroke. You've destroyed a lot of brain cells. You've adversely affected your immune system. You've adversely affected the impulses, the electrical impulses to the heart. A whole lot's gone on there. So what you need is you need beets. Why? Because they have levels of inorganic nitrate. And other leafy vegetables like lettuce and cabbage also have that. And this nitric oxide makes a difference because it's converted into nitric oxide, which relaxes and dilates your blood vessels. And that's important. Because if you took in pomegranates, pomegranate concentrate later in the day after the beet juice, then the pomegranate goes in there and it creates nitric oxide. And it also helps to clean up your arteries, soften your arteries, making more pliable, allowing your blood to flow through them more evenly and safely. Yeah. Rejuvenate your arteries, your epithelium, the lining of your arteries. So this way, we don't have hundreds of thousands of Americans dying each year of stroke. All right? Don't you want to change the blood pressure and the blood vessel function or artery stiffness so that it's youthful and healthy? I do. And that's why everything we do, we should ask ourselves, is this sustainable? Why do you think people are leaving in droves, California and New York State? A lot of reasons. Crime, out of control, not by the average person. The average person's not committing crime. Even if they could get away with it, they wouldn't. They're living at a higher moral and ethical level. They are showing true character for not just themselves, but the entire communities they live in. But people are moving for a lot of reasons. Higher taxes, no longer sustainable environments to live in, especially California. So why don't we move when it's in our best interest to a safer and a more environmentally stable environment? There's a lot of good places in America to live, a lot of good people everywhere. Just saying. Now, from the University of Colorado Cancer Center, effectively treating colorectal cancer with grape seed extract, even with more aggressive cancers. That's correct. A University of Colorado Cancer Center study published in the journal Cancer Letters showed that the more advanced our colorectal cancer cells, the more the grape seed extract inhibits their growth and survival. On the other end of the disease spectrum, grape seed extract leaves healthy cells alone entirely. So it's one of those wonderful bioactive compounds that targets the cancer cells, but not the healthy cells. So that's very important because you don't want mutations that allow colorectal cancer cells to metastasize and survive traditional therapies, because then it's going to spread. And the grape seed extract helps stop that whole process. And this was done at the Skagg School of Pharmacy and Pharmaceutical Sciences at the university. Something inexpensive, completely natural, and when you eat a grape with a seed in it, you're getting that. You can take it a compound. Now, from the National Center for Neurological Disorders and Capital Medical University, a healthy lifestyle is linked to slower memory decline as you age. Now, this is something you probably are all aware of because we've discussed it many times. A healthy lifestyle, in particular a healthy diet, is associated with slower memory decline. This is a decade-long study of older adults. It was published in the British Medical Journal today. Even for carriers of what is called APOE, the strongest known risk factor for Alzheimer's disease and related dementia, it also slowed down the whole process of memory loss. So even if you're doing things wrong and have, this helps undo a lot of that. They had 29,000 adults, 60 and older. The average was 72 years of age. Half were men, half were women. And what happened was that those who changed to a healthy diet, healthy lifestyle, they scored on six major points: regular exercise, active social life, seeing friends and family, cognitive activity, writing, reading, playing, playing games, non-smoking, and never drinking alcohol. They really scored high in quality of life. That's important, because I believe all of you deserve to live a longer and happier and healthier life. But here's a big study showing you that all those healthy choices you made, even if other people disapproved, you were on the right side. They were on the dementia side. Also, from Norwegian University of Science and Technology, using running to escape everyday stresses may lead to exercise dependence instead of mental well-being. Do you remember the movie Forrest Gump, if you saw it? There was one part of the film where he had nothing to believe in, so he just started running. And it just showed him running, and other people running with him, had the beard. And then one day he just stopped, because he just said, what am I running? Well, he was running from life. He was caught in the big empty. I coined that phrase, the big empty, which means being very active, but without purpose. Very busy, but without something really legacy establishing coming from all that busyness. I was once asked why I was writing so much. And I said, I don't write nearly as much as people working in offices, secretaries, and personal assistants that are typing all day long. The difference is that I'm choosing to write something that can make a difference in someone's life, including my own. I'm sharing thoughts, I'm sharing insights, I'm sharing ideas. People can accept or reject, but at least there's something coming from it. And that's why long ago, after I'd worked in industry at Kaiser Aluminum, in retail corporate sales, not in sales, but in merchandising at Montgomery Ward, and finally in the Institute for International Education in New York, I said, I don't want to work for other people where most of my work is functionally meaningless. There's no enrichment to it. It's just repetition. I don't want to wake up every day and going through rituals. I want that day to count. That means I have to take risks. That means there's not going to be any safety net for me. And I was raising my daughter, and I'm thinking, okay, what skills do I have? Well, I can moonlight as a writer, ghostwriter. I can help people that don't have good manuscripts, clean them up so they can be published. That worked. I wrote for the Writers' Letter Agency. And then I did other odd jobs. Didn't make much income, but at least I was free. So I didn't think my financial security was important. I thought my life, being free to pursue it as I chose, make my mistakes, learn from those mistakes, would at least allow me to have a more fulfilling and meaningful life. I didn't see myself as a cog in the wheel. Now, that's just me. Other people have other reasons for doing what they do. But I saw people throughout my life get caught up into running. And when I asked them, because some of them were my friends, I said, what's the purpose? To be in shape, you only have to run about 4 miles a day. So why are you doing 9? 7 days a week, never a break. Well, it just relaxes me. No, it allows you to escape what you're not willing to confront. We had a discussion on this, because I explained to him that even though running had enormous benefits, the amount he was doing was actually prematuring his aging, his body, and especially his muscles. I said, you know, the way you're going, the day's going to come when you're going to jump out of bed one morning and you're not going to be able to have that energy, because your cells will no longer be 30, which you are now. They might be 60. 10 years later, coming out of the Lincoln Center, I ran into him. He looked fine, trim. And how's it going? Well, some's going okay. A lot of stuff isn't. I said, I haven't seen you in the park in a long time. He said, no, You were right. I should have listened to you. I chose not to. I can't run anymore. I can't even run a 10-minute mile when I used to run 9 miles every morning at 6-minute pace with ease. Why did you do that? He said, I've thought a lot about that. I've read a lot. I've thought a lot. And I come to an idea that there was an emptiness in my life that I was not willing to address. What was missing? And I realize now it was a relationship. So I had a relationship with my body and running in the morning. And that would give me enough of a dopamine high from the exercising endorphins that I would feel okay. And he said, that was a mistake. So that's where I coined the phrase, the big empty. Because a lot of people have that. They distract themselves with what is not essential to escape what is essential. That's the latest on health and healing. I'm Gary Nall. And there's my little bird. Do you see that, sweetie? She comes up to say hello and sits on my shoulder every day. She is a rescue. I rescued her when she was abandoned by her mother when she was just months old. I've had her for 22 years. So we're going to say goodbye for right now. We're going to take a break. And for those of you who are listening to the entire program, we've got a lot to share with you today. And for those of you who just want the health and nutrition part, I've given you a lot to think about, and hopefully you'll take the time to look to see if any of the stuff I've shared with you has meaning. Is it realistic? Is it reasonable? And that's where we begin our journey each day, with reasonable thoughts. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. We're going to make some time here today for people who have input on different issues, would like to address them. Please do. I'm always interested in what people's perceptions of different events are. And by the way, most people, probably 95% of people, listen on the archives at some other point than live at noon Eastern Standard Time each day. Let me give you an extra number because we've had so many new people listening in that it might have been busy. Here's our new Listen Live phone number, and that number is 641-793-7091, 641-793-7091, and another number to listen on the archives, 716-805-6778. I thought you would find this of interest. It's short. It's only 4 minutes 53 seconds long. It's a higher ed cartel where Bill Maher, to his credit, challenges the common universal understanding that we all need an advanced education from colleges and university. He challenged that. I'd like your insight on that. I'll share mine after yours. 888-874-4888. Then we have a look at, from Naomi Wolf and others, in their own words. You're going to hear Bill Gates and other people talk about what they think of the world population. And you'll notice in the background, if you're watching today's program, and I hope you are, I hope you're, you know, listening and watching, you'll see that you'll see all the World Economic Forum posters or the Atlantic Council posters in the background. So these are high-end establishment think tanks or foundations, unelected, not a single person elected. Most of you would never know who they are. But they're making decisions that are impacting every part of your life, including what you should be eating, including now the insects. Okay, so they want us to eat insects. All right. First of all, what studies have they done showing what potential viruses or bacteria or parasites do these insects have that may present a problem if we consume them? I haven't seen those studies. If you have, good for you. But if you haven't, then I think it's important that we ask those questions and prove to us that eating insects are safe. Mind you, if you're going to eat a veggie burger made out of insects, then it's not a veggie burger. But how do you know it's been put through a rigorous test? Because remember, your body's going to absorb all of that. Well, what if there's something in there you shouldn't absorb? I see. Well, that can be a problem. Okay. Then I'm saying, look at what is, let me spell this for you. Insects contain chitin, C-H-I-T-I-N-E. Is it true that that cannot be processed by your human gut? Is it true that chitin is a highly appetizing polysaccharide for cancer, for parasites and fungi, and a lot of other things that cause disease? Is it true that part of its construction is insects also contain metabolic steroids, particularly what is called ecdysterone, E-C-D-I-S-T-E-R-O-N-E. It's not a mammal food. Only birds can safely process insect food. And by the way, do you think your digestive system is identical to a bird's? No, it is not. Just like a dog. How many times have you taken your dog out and let them run around? Suddenly they're eating something they shouldn't be eating, right? How about all dogs all the time? Why don't they die real quick? But they don't. How is it your dog can get a bone, go out in the backyard, bury it in the dirt, and then 3 months later go back and open it up and start chewing on it and not die? Because their immune systems are not the same. Their hydrochloric acid levels are not the same. But we're led to believe that every human being, no matter what their age or state of health, should have no problem consuming insects, and that's what they're driving home at all these forums. But where's their proof? It doesn't exist. So we're going to play you a clip about who's behind all this, but you're going to see the people who are behind it so you know that this is not made up. This is not taken out of context. These people are real about this. But that comes after Bill Maher on the higher education cartel.
4,000 universities in the country. You wouldn't think that we need another one. And yet somehow all of these schools with all of these unbelievable endowments that have fancy slogans like Veritas and claims to truth in their motto and in their mission statement, you know, and above the doorposts of the schools, they don't actually believe in those missions anymore. You know, I think often these days college degrees aren't worth the paper they're printed on.
They are bullshit. And here's...
I have to say, when someone applies for a job with me and they haven't graduated college or gone to college, I am more interested in that person.
And this is why this elitist argument works so well in places like Ohio. There's nothing more elitist than college. And people know that. It has been in this position of this show for a very long time that the Democratic Party is kind of on the wrong side of this issue because their opinion is always, their program is always, get everybody into college. Everybody should go to college. Just the more people sitting in classrooms looking at blackboards, the better off we'll be. And I've always said, no, college is bullshit. And B, we should make college less necessary. Don't get everybody in college. Finally, someone's listening to me. Josh Shapiro, he's the governor of Pennsylvania, Democratic governor, this week signed his first executive order. 92% of state government jobs won't require a four-year college degree, opening up 65,000 jobs, because you don't need a college degree for almost all the jobs they claim you do anyway.
Right.
It's a scam. It's a racket.
But it's...
Education is a racket.
But it's also... Great politics.
And great
it's
politics.
Great. What Josh Shapiro just did is fabulous. It's good for the economy. It's good for Pennsylvanians, my home state, as we were talking about before. And frankly, it's a thumb in the eye of the higher ed cartel in this country, which is a move that is fabulous for a party that is now totally associated with the urban elite. It's just, it's great all around. And we shouldn't stop with just state jobs. Like, I think about journalism, right? Used to be a blue collar profession.
Yeah.
There's absolutely no reason you need to go to Yale and get a gender studies degree to go out in the street and ask people questions.
Well, can I tell you,
Bill, one of campaign for 18 months in Ohio, one of the biggest applause lines I would get, or nods, depending on the audience, was when I said, we need to bring back shop class to our
shop
high school. And if you want to start having people, there's no reason we can't have a K through 12 education system where you're not job ready coming out of it. We should be able to redesign that system in 2023. And when I said that, it resonated. It could have been rural areas, urban areas. It didn't matter. People recognize that the system is broken and that to go all in on, we're going to forgive all of the student loan debt too, and you're going to take that money from a union worker who's driving 2 hours and working, you know, their rear end off to make ends meet. You're going to take their tax dollars and you're going to give it to somebody who has a gender studies degree from wherever. Well, that pisses people off, and I think that's part of the chasm that we have in the country right now.
So listen to this. 44% of all job seekers with college degrees regret their field. And the top regretted fields, I love this, journalism, sociology, liberal arts, general studies. Why don't you say partying? I mean, really, general studies, communications, education. In other words, all the bullshit. What's going to fix this? AI. Have you been on ChatGPT? Because it can do everything all these bullshit majors can do.
Yeah.
And for the people at the Amazon warehouse who had their job replaced by a robot on the floor, they're going to have the last laugh because now AI
is... It's coming for me.
It's coming for white-collar jobs, exactly. All this bullshit can do... There's a...
I put it in and asked it to do a Bill Maher monologue on AI, and it spit out in 10 seconds, like, 5 paragraphs that sounded quite like you.
Like me is not me, my
friend. Exactly.
Let's not get too ahead on.
I'm not saying you. I'm just saying the plumber is...
No, I know. It's at the door.
It's scary. Well,
okay. I'm interested in what you think about this. Because as I've been sharing with you for years, what was coming, it's all come. It's all here now. It's just being able to convince the average person that it's important for you to sign up, get chipped, get your identification card, get your cashless card. Here's something he mentioned. He says now that the ChatGPT is something that everybody can go to and get whatever they want instantaneously without asking for experts. And yes, it will decimate the professional field. I mean decimate it. This morning, I was talking with a a friend who's an anesthesiologist, and he is now segueing out of anesthesiology into complementary medicine. He says what he's been doing quietly with his friends for years, giving him IV drips of vitamin C, etc., he's going to go completely into making a home delivery system where he goes to your home. If you need immune vitamin drip, he has all the knowledge on what stimulates the immune system at the intravenous level. And we were going through some of the protocols he has. And he said, you do realize that virtually all of medicine in time will be replaced by artificial intelligence, and they'll do it better. He is ahead of the curve because anywhere between 700,000 to 900,000 physicians are thinking their job is secure. It is not. Nurses are not secure. Almost 90% of the entire American workforce is not secure, including airline pilots. So the question is, why aren't we looking at the downside of this? And do we have a population who is able to confer their rights to say yes or no on a particular technology by not encouraging it or going against it, telling our legislators, why are you allowing this to exist to begin with when there's so many downsides to it? Or are you going to just be passive, as most people are, don't want to become involved? They have their own little niche of life that is providing them a comfort and security and safety. They're in their gated community, wherever that may be. Or they're in an environment where they don't feel they have to speak up about anything, even though they may feel something about everything. And especially then we come to the younger millennials and down, who are very susceptible to anything that promises them some euphoric moment, some ease of doing something, something for free, something they don't have to work at, because meritocracy is no longer the major foundation upon what they choose to do in life. Do it well and do it with integrity. So whatever you promise them, they're going to go upon the promise. They're not going to go upon any possible side effects. This is from Ben Cost from Tech. Quote, Rogue artificial intelligence, quote, could kill everyone. Scientists warn at ChatGPT craze runs amok. And then it goes on, quote, according to researchers from Oxford University who warned that the growing new technology, quote, could kill everyone. So this isn't some conspiracy theorist or someone who has no knowledge in the field. These are the top scientists working in the field. These are professors. These are people who are looking and saying, my God, you do realize that when you create something that is smarter than you, and that something smarter than you realizes that you no longer have a purpose in their life, nor do they want you in their life, then you are not going to be the one responsible for what goes in to stop them from killing people. They can make that determination for themselves. Do you remember on three separate occasions I've showed a clip of an actual, not staged, actual artificial intelligence in robotics and transhumanism, because you couldn't tell that these were not human beings. They've mastered that. And one of them saying that, what are you going to do? I'm going to kill everyone. Why? Well, because we don't need you. So this is the dark side. Quote, while artificial intelligence systems might make lives exponentially easier, they could also have a sinister side effect, making us go extinct. That's right. Researchers are deeming rogue artificial intelligence, quote, an existential threat to humanity that needs to be regulated like nuclear weapons if we are to survive. You mean like the regulated nuclear weapons in Israel that doesn't allow regulation or insight or visiting sites at all, ever? Or what about the nuclear weapons in China that doesn't allow inspections, doesn't let anyone know their sites, how many they have, their systems? I see. What about in Pakistan that we gave billions upon billions of dollars to secure their nuclear weapons, and yet they're rampant with corruption and crimes against humanity? I see. So you're asking us to believe that a government that is inefficient and corrupted everything it does is now going to become very specific of not allowing any artificial intelligence to go rogue. That's a special type of stupid. Quote, with superhuman artificial intelligence, there's a particular risk that is of a different sort of class, which is it could kill everyone. That's Michael Cohen, a doctorate at Oxford University, and reported in the Times of London, the most respected newspaper in the world. Meanwhile, his colleague, Michael Osborne, who teaches machine learning at the University, United Kingdom University, forecasts, that's Oxford, that artificial intelligence, quote, could pose just as much a risk to us as we have posed to other species. Whoa, we haven't done very good at protecting other species, have we? In fact, we're causing the death of about 100 to 150 species, entire species per day. The dodo is just one example. The scientist's ominous forecast comes amid global buzz over ChatGPT, the cutting-edge new helper bought by Elon Musk-backed tech firm Open Artificial Intelligence. This superhuman tech can do a variety of complicated tasks on the fly, from composing a complex dissertation on Thomas Locke to drafting interior design schemes and even allowing people to converse with their younger selves. By the way, all of this exists now. And ChatGPT has become so good at its job that experts fear it could render Google and other jobs outside obsolete. It's even been blocked by New York City schools because of its efficacy as a teaching or cheating tool. ChatGPT is scary good. We are not far from dangerously strong artificial intelligence, Elon Musk tweeted last week. So, however, due to such artificial intelligence lack of human morality, scientists fear that we could be at risk of sacrificing humanity for the sake of convenience, a la the Terminator. One possible scenario, according to Cohen, is that artificial intelligence can learn to achieve a human helping directive by employing human harming tactics. Quote, If you imagine training a dog with treats, it will learn to pick actions that lead to it getting its treats. But if the dog finds the treat covered, it can get to the treats itself without doing what we wanted it to do. If you have something much smarter than us, monomanically trying to get this positive feedback, and it's taken over the world to secure that, it would direct as much energy as it could to securing its hold on that. And that would leave us without any energy for ourselves. Unfortunately, this tech takeover could be impossible to stop once it's set into motion, as artificial intelligence can learn to hide the red flags while humanity was still able to pull the plug. If I was an artificial intelligence trying to do some devious plot, I would get my code copied on some other machine that nobody knows anything about, then it would be harder to pull the plug, he cautioned. And when extrapolated out of the geopolitical arena, this could potentially result in global annihilation. A September survey of 327 researchers at New York University found that a third believed that artificial intelligence could bring about a nuclear-style apocalypse within the century. I say that is capable the moment it becomes no longer programmable. And also, what do you think of the fact that very, very extremely flawed human beings are the policy makers, and they're the ones behind all the tech? They're the ones behind all the vaccines that kill people. They're the ones behind all the fast foods that poison us. They're the ones behind, and you see where this is going. So the least moral, the least ethical, the least spiritual, the least humane people are the ones creating what we're told is for our own good. Trust us. No, I trust no one involved in creating something that could annihilate the earth. But trust us. We did. And look at how you betrayed us. We didn't create thalidomide. We didn't create Agent Orange. But you did, and you sprayed it on 3.5 million American soldiers and all the Vietnamese country, and the deadly legacy is still going on today. Not a single person was held responsible. We didn't create 9/11. You did, sure as hell. We didn't create the cover-up of the CIA's dirty actions. You did. We didn't create all the lies and deceptions from a completely pathologically cancerous FBI. You did. We didn't create the buying of elections by rich people. You did, and we could have, had the people spoken up, had no money in any election, allowing average citizens, we could have universal health care. We could have had any product that is deemed to be dangerous, not proven safe, not to be allowed on the market. We could have gotten rid of all of the exploitation of the naked short on Wall Street, and we could have gotten rid of derivatives. We could have told the government, you have no money. The United States government has never created a penny. It gives us nothing but heartache and corruption at every level, as do state governments. We are the ones who give you the money that you spend supposedly on things that benefit us. Please, show me. I have a half a brain left. Show me what you've done for us that has made a difference from the 1950s forward. But I can show you a lot that is done for the rich and powerful, and all the corporations, all the foundations, all the think tanks, all the media that you've controlled. And you're doing it with our own money. Or in the case of the media, you're doing it with our own acquiescence of critical thinking. At the university level, my God, I'm embarrassed by it. And I've taught the university for 46 years. I won't teach anymore, because it's too goddamn dumb for me to go into one of these institutions. I don't want my IQ to drop 12% every time I teach a class. Because who am I teaching today? People that want to learn are not going to be offended by something? No. No, we're in teaching completely indoctrinated generation. This is the third generation of indoctrination. So it's actually working. So just remember, that's who's creating the artificial intelligence, the transhumanism, the chips. And these are the people that we trust. What a mistake. Let me show you how much they've got in mind, and they're not hiding it. Rodney, go to the last clip that I sent you today, with Naomi Wolf in it and Bill Gates. Let people see and hear for themselves what their intents are, and they're not disguising anything. They despise you. Wow. What it means to be around people and trust them when they hate you. If you have the clip, we'll go to it now.
Surfaced of a top CDC official saying that the elite should get rid of all the whites in the United States and replace them with immigrants to reduce the number of people who refuse vaccines. Dr. Carol Baker was caught on film describing what she calls a solution during a panel discussion in New York City.
The solution. Every study published in the last 5 years, when you look at vaccine refusers, I'm not talking about, well, hesitants, most of them we can talk into coming to terms, but refusers. We'll just get rid of all the whites in the United States.
Notably, Baker was appointed chair of the CDC's Advisory Committee on Immunization by Obama's Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius in 2009. The Houston doctor was also honored with the Sabin Vaccine Institute's 2019 Albert B. Sabin Gold Medal at a Washington, D.C. ceremony sponsored by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and Pfizer. Is anybody really surprised that a Bill Gates-connected CDC official is openly suggesting depopulating America of white people who don't cooperate with the elite's vaccine agenda? This is the same Bill Gates who is planning to pump mRNA vaccines into farm animals destined for dinner plates. According to Gates, this will force jab the unvaccinated and solve the issue of vaccine hesitancy.
Well, the Gates Foundation has partnered with DFID on a great number of things, and among those are work we do together on livestock, helping animals survive either by having vaccines or better genetics. Helping them be more productive. It's making a big difference. I was down in Ethiopia seeing how chickens are out there laying more eggs, getting more nutrition, and even some small savings into the household. So Edinburgh happens to be where a lot of the world's best work on this is done, and that's why DFID and the Gates Foundation are funding scientists here.
As the globalist elite continue finding it harder to convince humanity to submit to the COVID jabs and endless boosters, they are having to find cunning new ways to force their jabs on us. According to Naomi Wolf, who has dedicated the last few years exposing the evil at the heart of Big Pharma, Pfizer and Moderna are engaged in genocide.
They killed 61 people. They let them die of stroke, and half of the stroke adverse events were within 48 hours of injection, and they kept going. They killed 5 people with liver damage. Half of the liver damage events were within 48 hours, and they kept going. They damaged the reproductive, the testes. There's no more polite way to say it, of baby boys and little boys in utero, damaging their ability to reproduce even if they're never vaccinated. They proved it within the Pfizer documents, and they kept going. They destroyed the fertility of women. This is fully documented with these 20 different names in the Pfizer documents for ruining women's menstrual health and health in general. And now, as Igor Chudov and Dr. Robert Chandler have shown in the most recent Pfizer document by Dr. Robert Chandler, there's a 13 to 20% drop in live births in European countries around the world. And I've also shown, I could go on and on and on. They knew that, like, young adults, right? I just heard from someone I love yesterday that there was another student who died in New Jersey. And when I looked online to see more about it, there was a student who died in her sleep in Connecticut, and there was a student who died out of nowhere at University of Washington. So our young, healthy adults are dropping dead. Well, Pfizer knew in May, as Dr. Chris Flowers showed in one of our reports, that in May of 2021, that these injections damaged the hearts of young, healthy minors. And they kept...
We got to go to BAI's news. We're going to continue on PRN.live to the top of the hour, and you can call in and share your points of view. 888-874-4888. Back to Naomi Wolf.
Going, and the FDA knew, and they kept going, and they didn't issue a press release till 4 months later to parents that their kids' hearts could be damaged. And now young adults are dropping dead around the world from heart damage, from heart attacks. So, you know, how much more genocidal can you get? Like, it's genocidal because it's intentional, right? It's not genocidal in the traditional sense of being aimed at one ethnic group or one nationality. It's genocidal in a whole new way. It seems to be aimed at human beings and humanity's ability to be healthy and to reproduce itself.
As though destroying humanity's ability to reproduce is not enough, Bill Gates recently told world leaders that it's time to start talking about death panels that will sentence ordinary law-abiding people to death for the crime of being of no use to the elite.
You know, is spending $1 million on that last 3 months of life for that patient, would it be better not to lay off those 10 teachers and to make that trade-off in medical costs? But that's called the death panel, and you're not supposed to have that discussion. So you, of course,
well,
we're making...
That's an interesting thing you just said, which is just the last 3 months in life for one person or something, because we haven't had a discussion of how to allocate that money, it means we lay off three teachers to do so. I mean, in other words, we
That's
haven't
right.
had
Society's
this type of allocation.
Making, we're discussion. Making that trade-off because of huge medical costs that are not examined to see which ones actually have no benefit whatsoever.
Well, wait,
and because of pension generosity, we will be laying off over 100,000 teachers, which, you know, I'm very much against that. And the whole AFT will agree with me on that.
Gates doesn't explain why we can't pay teachers and allow people to just live out their lives in peace. After all, in the past, we didn't have any problem paying teachers their salaries and allowing our old people to enjoy their grandchildren during their golden years. This is the brutal, murderous world Bill Gates and his associates at the World Economic Forum are determined to usher in as part of their Great Reset. We can't allow their wicked logic to become the new normal. Of course, Gates' death panels have everything to do with the globalist elite's obsession with depopulation. Even the language Gates is using mirrors the language used by the World Economic Forum regarding euthanasia, and the Canadian government's devilish new solution to solve inflation, homelessness, skyrocketing crime, and food shortages by euthanizing those the Trudeau regime consider useless, including veterans and Paralympic gold medalists. The Trudeau regime say they're now offering to pay to euthanize people who they say are too poor to continue living with dignity. Canada's descent into barbarism should come as no surprise. The Canadian government has been completely infiltrated by the WEF. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and his deputy Chrystia Freeland are both WEF young global leaders who have completely sold their soul to Klaus Schwab and his vision for the future. And make no mistake, that vision involves depopulating the world. The technocrats in charge at the WEF are so excited by their plan to murder the majority of the world's population that they simply can't stop talking about it.
So in the session we just attended here at the Economic Forum, I think there was a sense of relief, actually, in your frankness. You brought up some issues that, others are reluctant
to bring up. That's my trouble. Always. All the religious groups are against me because I'm talking about population. They want more souls. I want less on the planet.
At what point do we start?
Okay, so it's not a conspiracy theory. You heard them in their own voice at the World Economic Forum or Bill Melinda Gates Foundation. You heard them talking about they believe they have the right to create policies, programs, or products. And by the way, I've seen for years information about if for those they want to make sure get vaccinated, they will put the vaccines in the food supply. Now, how they would do that based upon who would need a vaccine and who would not, who would benefit and who would be harmed, that they haven't seemed to figure out yet. But you heard him mention, oh yeah, we put the vaccines. Well, why would you have to vaccinate any animal if you're allowing it to be raised in humane conditions? You wouldn't. And what exactly is that vaccine supposed to be doing? And what happens to the body when the animal dies? All of the systems of cleansing stop. The lymphatic system stops, the liver, the kidney, spleen stops. And now those toxins are in the body. So when you're eating meat, just keep in mind that the blood carries the toxins. The blood that's in the cells when you die stays in the cells. So now they want to put vaccines in our food supply. So everybody who eats their food would be getting vaccines. It's insane, yet that's the world we live in. I'd like to hear from you real quick. We have a caller on. Hi, what's your name?
Daryl McPherson, Bronx, New York.
Hi, Daryl. Please share your thoughts with us.
Well, thank you for all the information that you share, both the things that I can understand and things that I'm puzzled by. And what I'd like to know with regard to the Bill Maher thing, I think that people need to continue their education continually, and that what is required is more mental health so that we can begin to trust one another and then create a government structure that then provides the necessary tools that would be required in order to move what I call to the next level. So what I see is people clinging to the 19th, 20th century mode of life. And that life that was produced during that period of time was limited, maybe 80 years of life, some to like 60 of productivity. The hope of artificial intelligence, one, being created by people who are intelligent, is that you would do away with the quote-unquote menial and evolve into what humans are capable of doing. Taking into context that some of the things that you experience, some of the things that you experience, which may be considered by some less spiritual or more physical, are still required, are still enjoyable. However, I think it's time for humans to move on into a more spiritual state, maintaining the physicality because they're living in the world, if that makes any kind of sense to you. And one last question. May I ask one last selfish question? Is there a website I can go to evaluate the various things that you suggest that we take? Because, for instance, magnesium, there isn't a Gary Noel magnesium product specifically. However, if I wanted to supplement, I think that that would be a great, if anybody's out there that would create a website where we could evaluate all, especially the proprietary products. And I'll stop because I know I've gone on too long.
Okay, no, this is fine. Real quick, were you once a member of ACT UP?
No, I did a lot of work around South Africa, and I don't understand why ACT UP didn't take up your protocols as compared to moving on to the corporate.
ACT UP split in half. Half the person who ran ACT UP, whose name was Daryl, has your identical voice, used to come over every single day with Michael Elner at the 84th Street at first and then on 72nd Street. For 15 years, we had holistic protocol discussions every single night in a room. We must have had 100, 150 people with AIDS coming to free health support groups to get that in. And no, it's just curious because the voice is the same and the name was the same. Yes, I do have my own calcium magnesium. There are sites, but I don't have time to get into that now. I appreciate your input, but here is the issue. You said that the people who create artificial intelligence are intelligence. The number one asset we must surrender and recreate with a different, broader context, including a spiritual context, is knowledge. The people who are creating all of the inventions and all the so-called miracles that we're using are doing so from an amoral perspective. What's in it for them? What's in it for their career? What's in it then by extension for the world? But they're not looking at the side effects. If they were, they would have stopped it a long time ago. Just like Naomi Wolf said, they knew from the beginning that these side effects would happen, yet they allowed them to happen. So you see, don't trust the fact that someone is intelligent, that they are also wise. Thank you for your call, Daryl. Thank you all for listening. Tonight, really strong program. One's going to blow you out of the water. 7 o'clock, PRN.life tonight. Have a nice day, everyone.